gospel preached already today. Amen. Amen. And song and dance and hallelujah.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't go anywhere. The children have a program after this. Our younger children. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I love the celebration. I love the power of His presence. Hallelujah. If them girls aren't careful when they get to dancing up here, the Holy Ghost is going to break out all over them. They were trembling all over with the anointing and the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. His presence is real and it's alive and it's indwelling. Hallelujah. And it's, you know, the scripture says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. How many know you can have that river of life inside of you today? Hallelujah. It's not just something external. It's not something we just come to talk about. It's not just another good story. It's not just another holiday. How many know it is the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. His anointing, His Spirit, His presence within our midst, in our being. Hallelujah. The song they sang, Now Behold the Lamb. I mean, when Jesus stepped on the shore with John the Baptist, and he come to be baptized, John stopped everything that he was preaching, everything that he was saying up to this point. And he stops the procession. And he says, ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce to you the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. How many he knew the Lamb when he saw it? And he said, in your midst today is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. And he goes ahead and baptizes Jesus. And he says, I'm not even worthy to unlatch your shoes. I'm not worthy to even touch the shoes of your feet. And Jesus said, go ahead, John, go ahead and let it be so. Go ahead and let's fulfill everything that the Old Testament ever prophesied or ever declared that was to come to pass. And when John and Jesus joined hands on the shore of Jordan that day, hallelujah, how many know God completed some things in the heavens? Hallelujah. He fulfilled some old covenant. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. And Jesus being the first of the New Testament prophets. The scripture says when he stepped into the Jordan River. Hallelujah. Our heavenly Joshua stepped into the Jordan River. And when he did, the waters did not roll back this time, but the heavens rolled back. And he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus opened a way to an access to the heavens that we could have life and have it more abundantly today. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Hallelujah. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We came to celebrate today a risen Savior. Amen. I got good news for you. The tomb is empty. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not here. He's risen. We didn't come to seek living things among the dead this morning. I mean, no, he's alive and well. Hallelujah. I know that because he lives in me. He dwells in me. He resides in me this morning. Anybody have Jesus living inside of you today? Any of you have resurrection life on the inside of you today? The scripture declares that since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken and make alive your mortal body. I mean, no, there is an indwelling spirit of God, that quickening spirit, the same spirit. That's what the word says. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Hallelujah. And it will make alive. Hallelujah. It will quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. How many are glad for that quickening spirit today? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, no, God is moving all over the earth. Not only all over our nation, all over the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Len and them are hearing from their TV program. They're hearing from places from the uttermost parts of the earth. That when Jesus declared to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Preach the gospel to every nation, every kindred, and every tongue. How many know literally the gospel, the message of the finished work of the grace of Jesus Christ is being preached to the ends of the world? Yes, hallelujah. They just heard from the Ukraine, I believe it was this week. two people from the Ukraine. They're hearing from Russia. They're hearing from Iraq. They're hearing from Germany. They are hearing from all over the world, people that are tuning in to the TV program and hearing the message of Jesus. That's incredible to me. That's incredible to me. Hallelujah. So we're always excited to have him here this morning, excited to have Pastor Jeremy and Liza and baby Aspen in the house with us this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank everybody who ministered for us while we were away and ministering someplace else. Did fantastic job. And I'm excited. The only thing I hate about leaving and having somebody else to speak is I don't get to hear them until I get it on CD. But I get the CD as soon as I can and find out what's going on. And it's just incredible to me. You know, what's powerful to me is not just what you see or what, you know, you may see happening on the outside. It's not even what's coming through me, through this pulpit. But when I began to hear those who are growing up in the house that have the revelation and the understanding of the gospel and can articulate it and share it with an anointing and power, that's incredible to me. How many know we're in good hands? Yes, we are. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that we serve a generational God. Amen. That the blessings are to our seed and to our generations. And so I'm so thankful to him today. I'm thankful for my heritage this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to grow up in the house of God. I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to come to know Jesus as my personal Savior at a very young age. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for the gospel and the power of Christ in my life today. Amen. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Not any formula. Not any program. Hallelujah. Because once you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, I mean, you know, there's something different than knowing about somebody and really knowing them. Amen. Having a personal relationship with them. That's the power of the cross. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're so delighted that you're here today to celebrate with us a risen Savior. I want to go to John chapter 20 this morning and take my text. I probably won't be real long, but who knows? Who knows? Hallelujah. But I just want to share with you some things of what we come to call the resurrection story, the Easter story, for lack of better description. But how many know it's not just a story for spring? It's not just a story for Easter. It is the message of the gospel. Hallelujah. From the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. That before man ever sinned in the garden, Jesus was already the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There was already a remedy. There was already a propitiation in place for us. Hallelujah. That we could receive mercy and grace and forgiveness of our sins. How many are thankful for forgiveness today? How many are thankful for the blood of Jesus? Hallelujah. Who washes us from all of our sins. Hallelujah. How many know we have a hands-on God? An approachable God. A touchable God. Hallelujah. In John chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh unto Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." Hallelujah. How many know Mary came to the tomb? She came to the sepulcher. She came to the place where they had laid him in attempts that she might anoint his body with spices and anoint his body with oils, and that she might mourn over Jesus who had been crucified, that she might mourn over what she had lost, that she might weep over where he laid and where he had been. How many know she did not come necessarily in this morning and in anticipation of finding a risen Savior? Because her response is, they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where he is. I don't know where to find him. She wasn't coming in expectation of a stone rolled away. She wasn't coming in expectation of finding a risen Savior. She came to anoint a dead body. Hallelujah. How many know, as powerful as the cross is, it's not the end of the story. As powerful as his death is, that's not the end of the story. Hallelujah. As powerful as everything that he cried out from the cross, that's not the end of the story. Jesus pronounced seven sayings from the cross, seven powerful things that he said from the cross. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He forgave the sins. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I thirst. And all the different things he said from the cross. How many know they were prophetic proclamations of all the things that Jesus was about to fulfill and complete in himself? Amen. Hallelujah. So that from the cross, he even pronounced forgiveness. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many know one of the greatest stories or pictures of forgiveness must be the picture of Barabbas? When Barabbas is sitting in the jail cell, and maybe he's in the cell with the two thieves that are crucified on the cross, we don't know. But how many know when he's sitting there, and he's facing death, and he's guilty as charged? He's guilty of everything they have charged him with. But how many know Jesus, the perfect Lamb, literally takes his place, literally dies for him, and dies as him, and he is released. I mean, no, it's a picture in the Old Testament. There was one sacrifice that was slain for the sins, and the other was a scapegoat that was introduced and let go out in the wilderness. How many know Barabbas understands what the scapegoat must have felt like? Because Jesus became our perfect Lamb of sacrifice who took away the sins of the world. And that even from the cross, he prophesies and declares to those who don't even ask him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many know there's power in forgiveness? Hallelujah. And so that he takes the place of Barabbas. And how many know the disciples and all of those are sitting at the foot of the cross, but Jesus had already warned them and said, I'm going to smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to scatter. And some of them wanted to rebuke him, and some of them wanted to draw him aside and say some things to him. He said, but he began to talk with him and work with him. What I love about this is the picture of Jesus as he washes the feet of the disciples in that upper room. He washes all 12 sets of feet to get to every one of them that's about to betray him, and he doesn't single any of them out. He doesn't single Judas out. He doesn't single Peter out. He doesn't single them out, but he washes every set of feet. And he begins to tell them, guys, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. But how many know I don't think they ever really heard anything past, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. Hallelujah. Because Peter said, Lord, I'll go all the way with you. I'll fight for you. I'll die with you. If I need to, I'll die with you. And Jesus simply looks at Peter and said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times tonight. How many know that's a hard pill to swallow? Anybody ever in here ever made promises to God and said, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. Lord, I'll go with you all the way. And in a moment of weakness, we fail him. And then we feel like we're crushed or we want to live in our shame. But what I love about it is Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock, before morning. You're going to mess it up three times, Peter. But don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I'd have told you. So, no matter how bad you mess it up, Peter, the cross is enough to fix it. The cross is enough to take care of it. I want you to know this morning, no matter how bad you think you might have messed things up in your life, the power of the cross is bigger than anything you've ever done in Adam. There's nothing you've ever done in Adam that's more powerful than what God did in Christ. Hallelujah. And so that in their time of failure, when they walked away from him, hallelujah. Peter had fight in him. He had fight in him. Hallelujah. Because he jumped up with a sword when they would come to arrest Jesus, and he swings a sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus. And he's ready to fight now. And Jesus said to him, Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know that at this moment, this very moment, I have the power to call 12 legions of angels at my disposal right here, right now. Hallelujah. But not my will, but thine be done. How many know maybe one of the greatest things he had to overcome was the power of being very God and being very man and understanding that the host of heaven is standing on alert with swords drawn, ready. He said, if he gives the word, we're going. All he's got to do is say the word. Yeah. Hallelujah. But Jesus said to him, put away your sword, Peter, Because if we're not careful, we'll use the sword to cut off ears instead of giving people ears to hear, that they might hear. Hallelujah. And as he swings the sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus, Jesus simply stoops down to another one of his betrayers, picks up the ear, and with the very breath of God that he breathed into the man, and man became a living soul, he breathes on the ear of that servant, that slave who came to have him arrested, and puts it back on the side of his head. Hallelujah, and restores that back to him. How many know that's the kind of God that we serve? Hallelujah, that's all about restoring everything that's ever been taken, everything that's ever been lost from you. We have a God, a creator God, who's able to take the very ear out of the dust of the earth and put it back on the side of your head. Hallelujah, and give us ears to hear. How many know he never heard out of that ear the same way again? Hallelujah. So that when he stood probably in a distance at the foot of the cross, he cupped that ear with one hand and heard the words of Jesus from the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Hallelujah. And so as Mary comes to anoint the Lord and anoint his body, she finds out he's not there. And instead of her being ecstatic and celebrating and rejoicing, she's weeping and she cries out to the other disciples. They say, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where to find him. I don't know where he is." Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. How many know they came to the tomb and peered in to what seemed to be an empty tomb? And I was reading some things last night, was talking about, they saw the scripture says they saw the grave clothes lying and the napkin that was folded laying in a place by itself. And they said literally what would have happened, that when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came to beg the body of our Savior, that they wrapped him in a linen cloth, a wrapped cloth, and Aaron already shared so beautifully some of the illustration from the very birthing of the baby lambs, the sacrificial lambs, how they would wrap them in linen from the very beginning to keep them from thrashing around and damaging themselves. And even to the place where baby Jesus is born, and they wrap him in a swaddling clothes, and they wrap him in linen. But how many know what they would do with a dead body is they would wrap it with 100 pounds of spices, of myrrh and incense and all of those different things, and they would wrap it in a cocoon type wrapping to the point that they would seal it with so much of the spices and the oils and the ointments that it would form as it were like a crust or a hard shell, so that if you wanted to get out of that shell, you literally would have to cut it down the middle and break it open to get out of there. How many know there was something about the appearance of that tomb when they came in that day that says, "Oh no, nobody has stolen away the body of my Lord. There's something more going on here than what we know," because the wrappings or the casings, as it were still there. And the napkin was taken off and laid in a place by itself. How many know? I don't know. I never really stole anything I can remember of in my life too much. But chances are, if you're going to steal a body, you're probably not going to go to the bother of folding things up and putting them back like they were when you got there. Now, you know, chances are you're going to get out of Dodge fast. Now, I won't ask any of you in here if you ever stole anything or if you ever had to get out in a hurry. But if you did, that's probably the way, that's probably the way that you did it. Hallelujah. How many know if you're going to steal a body that's encased in a wrapping or a packaging such as that, you're not going to take the time to leave the wrapping there. You're not going to take the time to lay it back in a neatly order. You're not going to take the time to fold up the napkin. You're going to grab and run. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so when they get to the tomb, they look in and things don't look like they ought to be looking. Something is going on here. Hallelujah. How many know something bigger than what we know is going on here? Number one, the tomb's rolled away. The stone is rolled away. Hallelujah. It's not sealed anymore. Another scripture says, and when they peeked in or peered into the tomb, they saw one angel at the head and one angel at the foot. And they said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. Hallelujah. How many know what they saw was a picture of a blood-sprinkled mercy seat? The blood of his body is sprinkled on that slab of rock where he laid, and the hands of angels stretched out over him and says, you're not going to find the dead among the living. He's not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. And what I love about it, Mark says it like this. He says to Mary Magdalene in the scripture in Mark, go tell my disciples and Peter that I am risen. Hallelujah. How many know Peter had some things to settle? Peter had some issues that he needed to deal with, that even in his time, even though Jesus had warned him and said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. The scripture says when the cock crew, it's a crew, when the cock crowed that morning, at the sound of the rooster, how many know all over Jerusalem you'd have heard the sound of a rooster, but nobody heard it like Peter did. That morning. It is if it would have trumpeted every failure that he had ever made. And the scripture says, and when Jesus heard the sound of the rooster, he turned and looked at Peter. And you can be having a whole lot of interpretations of what that means or what that thought might have meant. But how many know Peter went away sorrowful from that place? But here's what I really think happened. What I really think happened when Jesus turns and looked at Peter, what he's saying to him is, look at me, Peter. Don't let your heart be troubled. Remember what I said to you. Don't go away sorrowful. Don't take the mindset of Judas that even though he's betrayed me and failed me, he went away and hanged himself. How many know his hanging on Calvary was enough for us? You don't have to hang yourself from your own failures, but you can identify with his death that when he died on the cross of Calvary, he did not just die for me. He died as me and died the death of every man. Yes. Hallelujah. That he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. All men. Hallelujah. Unto me. And so, in that place, the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. I want to tell you this morning, if you've come in weeping, you just need to stoop down. Hallelujah. Your weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. How does joy come? It comes from stooping down and peering into an empty tomb, because in that tomb we realize that all of life has been released to us, the power of life and death, resurrection life. We already said it. Me and Wilda's favorite scripture, since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. How many know resurrection life is available to you today? Hallelujah. It's available to you today. So in her weeping, she stooped down. In our weeping, we've got to stoop down and look into something bigger than what we are. And see a two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Sir, I don't know what they have done with my Savior. I don't know what they have done with my Lord. I come to weep and mourn today over a body, over what I have just experienced over the last 3 days. I saw them nail him to the cross. I saw them beat him. I saw them whip him. I saw him die. I saw them put him in this tomb. And yet he's not here today. Sometimes I just don't understand. I just don't understand this Jesus. And let me know where you've laid him. I'll take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. How many know in her weeping, in her time of mourning, in her time of questions, in her time of fear, in her time of trying to figure this whole program out, Jesus simply says to her, Mary. And something about the way that he said her name causes her to come alive and say, that's Rabboni, that is my master. I know the sound of that voice. I followed him on the Sea of Galilee. I listened to him on the Mount of Olives. I watched him perform miracles. I know the sound of that voice. That is my Rabboni, that is my master. How many in here can remember the day when you heard him say your name? Hallelujah. When you heard him say your name, when he bid you to come to him, when he called you to come to him, when you felt that drawing, when you felt that stirring in your spirit and thought, I need Jesus. I need a Savior. Anybody in here remember the day when he called your name? Hallelujah. I can remember it as if it were yesterday as a small child. My mom telling me about Jesus. And if your mom tells you, it's got to be the truth, right? It's got to be the gospel. Hallelujah. And she told me about her experience. How many know your experience in finding Christ is one of the most powerful things you'll ever share? How the gospel works for you, how you come to know Jesus, how it changed your life. If you've never had that experience, today's as good a day as any to experience the power of Jesus and to listen for the sound of his voice when he calls your name. Hallelujah. And I simply got down off of the table as a three-year-old girl, just a small child, got down off the table, went into the living room, knelt down beside the couch and said, Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. And let me tell you, when a three-year-old child calls out to Jesus, he answers you. And I felt the power of the Holy Ghost in that house on that morning, on that day, when God literally touched my life, when God saved me. Hallelujah. I didn't have that experience where I had become, you know, had a whole big testimony of all the things I had been through. My testimony is I know the saving and keeping power of the Holy Ghost, that when he saves you, there's nothing else like him. There's nothing else like it. There's nothing else out there more powerful than the power and presence of God in your life. Yeah. Hallelujah. I remember when he called my name. Hallelujah. I remember when he called my name and summoned me. Hallelujah. And so she has an encounter with him, and he says to her something that seems somewhat puzzling in a way. He saith unto her, Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. What he's really saying here, another translation translated as, don't cling to me, don't hang on me here, Mary. What he's saying is not so much don't touch me, but don't hold me to what you used to know, Mary. Don't try to retain me in this place. Don't try to hold me here, because if you hold me here, Mary, I can't take you where you need to go. I can't take you where you got to go from here, Mary. So don't detain yourself. There's a whole room full of fearful men that are waiting to hear the good news that he indeed is risen. How many know why all the rest of the disciples are hanging out, hiding behind closed doors? Mary's not afraid to be connected with her Savior, and she is the one that goes back to them and says, "He's not dead. They didn't steal him. The story is true. Remember what he said. I've seen the Master. I have seen the Lord." How many know Mary Magdalene had a little bit of a story? She had a little bit of a past. She had a little bit of a history. She was the one whom the Lord had delivered of 7 devils. Hallelujah. She knew the power of deliverance. She knew the power of life. She knew the power of God. She knew the power of this resurrected Savior in a way now that she had never experienced before. Don't try to hold me here, Mary, because I've got greater things in store for you. There's more yet to come. One of the worst things we can do in our Christian walk is try to hold God to what was going on yesterday and fail to embrace what he wants to do today and where he wants to take us from here. How many know yesterday was wonderful? But he's just as powerful today and tomorrow, hallelujah, and where he wants to take us in our life. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. How many know fear will keep you from missing, it'll keep you from having the encounter that you need to with Jesus. For fear of the Jews came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. How many know when Jesus came to meet up with the disciples in the upper room, the first thing he says unto them is, peace be unto you. Not criticizing, not chastisement, not where have you guys been? What are you doing here hiding out in fear? No questions. He comes back to them and says, peace be to you. Hallelujah. How many know the same guy who, when they're out on the shores in the boat and the storm is raging and they're fearful, Jesus simply stands up in the midst of their boat, in the midst of the storm, and says to them, peace be unto you. Can I tell you this morning, there is a peace that passes all understanding. There is a peace beyond what we can see and what we can understand at the time, that when Jesus begins to speak peace into our life, no longer does fear have dominion over you. No longer does fear have any power over you. Hallelujah. And so he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How many know not any longer is he just a companion, but how many know now there's an indwelling spirit, there's an indwelling presence that dispels fear. The power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Hallelujah. And it says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called, what do they call Thomas? Says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus returned. Didymus means twin. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I cannot believe, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas went with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said again, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The scripture tells us when Jesus comes to the disciples in the upper room, Thomas is not with them for whatever reason. We don't know why he's not there. And so they go back to Thomas and they say, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He indeed is risen. And Thomas's response is, unless I can see the nail prints in his hands, unless I can thrust my hand in his side, I just can't believe. And when I ask you what Thomas's name was, all of you said, doubter, doubting Thomas. And for centuries of time, Thomas has been labeled as doubting Thomas. Not Didymus, not missionary Thomas, not disciple Thomas, not the apostle Thomas, but doubting Thomas. You ever had a moment of doubt in your life? You ever had a moment of unbelief? You ever had a moment of fear? You ever had a moment where you just can't figure this God out? I mean, when Jesus was coming, they sent for Jesus and they said, Master Lazarus is sick and they've sent for you to come. And Jesus begins to say to them, Lazarus just sleepeth. It's okay. And he said, well, Lord, we need to come. We need to go. And he said, no. He tarried a couple more days. And they said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, that's a good thing. And Thomas, the reason Jesus doesn't go into Bethany where Lazarus is because they're seeking to kill him. They want to take his life. I mean, Jesus is trying to avoid that because his hour has not yet come yet. But Thomas is the one that speaks up finally, he says he's dead. And so Thomas speaks up in that scripture. Thomas is the one that speaks up and says, well, Lord, let's go die there together. How many know they're after Jesus to kill him? Lazarus already dead. Thomas is the one that's willing to go with him and die with him in Bethany and face the Jewish council and the mob. But they go into the city of where Lazarus is. And the scripture says Mary and Martha are in the same mind frame as Mary of Magdalene and some of the others. They said, Lord, if you'd just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he said, don't you know that I am the resurrection and I am life? And he said, Lord, I know that there is a resurrection one day, but I needed resurrection life yesterday. I needed it before now. I know that there's coming a day where there's resurrection. Jesus said, I am resurrection and I am life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Hallelujah. I mean, Thomas stood at the mouth of the cave when Jesus steps up to Lazarus and says, Lazarus, come forth. Martha and Mary said, Lord, don't you know that he stinks? He's been in there 4 days, and by now he stinks. As a matter of fact, this whole situation just stinks. And if you'd have been here, he would not have died. Hallelujah. You don't have to raise your hand, but you ever been in a situation sometimes where you say, Lord, this just stinks, and I don't understand how this all works. I don't know how this happens, but Jesus steps in the midst of your situation every time and says, I am resurrection, and I am life, that if you'll just believe on me, though it seems like it's dead, yet shall you live. Hallelujah. And I declare to you today, if you are looking at situations that look like they're dead and past and forsaken, I declare to you there is one who has not only experienced resurrection life, he is resurrection life. I am resurrection and I am life. Yes. And he calls forth Lazarus out of a grave and he said, go ahead and loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus risked death for Lazarus to raise him from the dead? But somehow Thomas, in his state of mind of fear and doubt, is standing in a place that said, I saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet he allowed the religious leaders to put him to death and put him in the grave. And I don't understand this. I don't understand why he's dead. He is resurrection power. He is life. Hallelujah. Thomas was a doubter. He was a skeptic. He didn't understand this Jesus. He didn't understand the religious leaders. He didn't understand the whole thing. He said, I'm sorry, I'm at a point in my life I just cannot believe. And yes, I can see the nail prints in his hand and thrust my hand in his side. But what I love about Jesus is a hands-on approach. The scripture says, for we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hallelujah. How many know he is a touchable God, a touchable, tangible high priest? As a matter of fact, Thomas is in the crowd on the day when the woman who has an issue of blood reaches out and wants to touch Jesus and stops the whole procession. And Jesus said, who touched me? And Thomas and the other disciples are saying, seriously, Lord? You want to know who touched you? Everybody in this crowd is trying to touch you. We're doing every kind of body check and body guard we can do to keep them back from you. And everybody in here is trying to touch you. He said, no, somebody today touched me. I've touched a lot of people in the crowd, but somebody today touched me. Hallelujah. And she's made whole from that very instance, but in her touching him, she delays him from the house of Jairus, where there's a little girl that they come back and say, don't bother the master anymore because she's dead. Hallelujah. How many know Thomas was in the distance there somewhere when Jesus goes into the house and says, it may look like it's dead. It may look like it's past, but I come to declare to you this morning, it ain't over till it's over. Hallelujah. It's not done till he says it's done. It's not finished until he says it's finished. Hallelujah. And he takes that little girl by the hand and she gets up out of that bed and resurrection life is in her. And Thomas says, I don't understand this whole resurrection life. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today that in my times of doubt, in my times of despair, in my times of fear, in my times of discouragement, there is a high priest that I can touch who comes to me and says, Lisa, put her there. Go ahead and touch me. Go ahead and handle me. Go ahead and feel me. Go ahead and put your hand in my side, Thomas. You're blessed because you can see, but blessed is everybody in this room today who can believe and has not seen and yet can still believe. Hallelujah. Don't let one moment of failure, don't let one moment of disbelief, don't let one moment of fear define you for the rest of your life. How many know he was not Thomas the doubter? He was Thomas Didymus. He was Thomas the twin. He literally was Thomas the missionary. Hallelujah. And history tells us that Thomas was a missionary that went into India and took the message of the gospel of the cross to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah, that he evangelized and he was a missionary in India and taught the message of the risen Savior and the testimony that he had. How many know I said to you before, your testimony is the most powerful thing that you have. I can't tell you how he did it for everybody else, but I can tell you how he did it for me. I can tell you the power of the gospel in my life. Hallelujah. I can tell you the power of the gospel in my family's life. I can tell you what I have seen. I can tell you what I have experienced. All I can tell you is what I know. Hallelujah. And that's the most powerful testimony we have. Hallelujah. We were there this weekend at the women's conference, and we were having some time of praise and worship at the end of the service, and there was a lady there, and she'd asked me to pray for her the night before for some direction and things like that, and she was down on the floor the next night, and she's praying, and she's leaned down, and I just went over and laid my hand on her and said, Lord, I just ask you to do the supernatural in me. I just ask you to give her direction. I just ask you to lift her, encourage her, and it's not but a few moments. I look around, and this lady is dancing all over the front of this church. I mean, and not one of those dances like, you know, like dance just to the music, like I'm telling you, a Holy Ghost dance. You know what I'm talking about, right? One of those Holy Ghost dances. Well, we get laughing, not laughing at her, but we're laughing, just rejoicing in her, rejoicing. And she is dancing all over this place. She sent us back a testimony the next day, said, I've had a terrible pain in my right side that I just could not hardly deal with. I have not been able to sleep on my right side for years, I believe it was, she said, when the power of God hit me in that service tonight, she said, my pain is gone, and I slept like a baby on my right side for the first time in a very long time. It wasn't nothing that anybody else do. How many know she had an encounter with Jesus? And when you have an encounter with Jesus, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt he has touched you and made you whole. Hallelujah. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. There are miracles that take place. Hallelujah. Lynn was sharing about the meeting that he was at this weekend. You want to share about the gangs that she was with or the...
There was probably in that meeting about 400, and they were from like rival gangs. They were law enforcement. They were criminals, convicts, motorcycle gangs, and they're all in the same room, law enforcement. And so I was preaching, and I gave an altar call, and it was about eight rows deep with these guys that were just, they were about eight rows in, you know, in the altars, you know, kind of like it is at our youth camp. But I laid hands on the first one of them, just one of them. And it looked like God just did a drive-by. I mean, it was like a newsie. I mean, it was, they hit the floor, and there was cops on top of criminals just laying. I mean, it was like they was laying all over the floor, just slain by the power of God. I mean, the Holy Ghost blew through that place until they were eight rows deep, looked like dominoes falling. I laid hands on the first one. It's just like God did a drive-by. I was thinking, while you was preaching, it was almost looked like God did a drive-by. And I mean, they were cops and crooks, and they were guys that were shooting at each other 6 months before that in rival gangs. And just the power of God moving in just a phenomenal way. It was just incredible to see the power of God do that and transform lives. The pastor himself had been, a gang member. And the pastor in Sacramento had done a lot of time in San Quentin, but had done just a tremendous ministry on the street with these gangs and his whole church. I mean, when you go to these churches, they look rough. I'm telling you, I mean, they're tattooed up and flying their collars. It was totally... But God had just done such a work in their lives to deliver them. It was just incredible to see the power of God move like that. But I've never seen where you laid hands on one and eight rows deep. They're just, it looked like you just took them and just threw them. I mean, they were in a pile. It was funny to see uniformed policemen and criminals laying side by side on the floor with the power of God had just slayed every one of them in the fire.
The power of God, amen, to move in our midst. And to change lives, to change lives. Amen. How many know a lot of times we allow ourselves to be identified with our failure or with our, you know, Thomas for centuries has been identified as Thomas the doubter because he doubted. Well, Peter denied, Judas betrayed, the rest of them ran. I mean, the scripture says, and they all forsook him. Hallelujah, that we all have moments in our life sometimes where we have moments of failure or moments of weakness or moments of unbelief or moments where we say, I just don't know. I just don't know about this. But what I love about God is he's faithful to come back. He doesn't criticize Thomas. He doesn't rebuke him. He said, Thomas, if you need to see, go ahead and see. How many know Thomas didn't ask for anything that the others had not already seen? Jesus had already showed him his side, had already showed him the nail prints. Thomas said, unless I can see it, I can't believe it. I mean, you know, sometimes unless we can see it with our own eyes, we can't believe it in our heart. But here's what I've come to understand is if you believe it in your heart, you'll begin to see it with your eyes. Hallelujah. And he said, Thomas, you're blessed because you can see, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. You have the power today to believe. And something more powerful than yourself. You have resurrection life in you. Hallelujah. You were crucified with him. You were buried with him. You were resurrected with him. Hallelujah. Bring me up 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. Hallelujah. And I'm closing with this. Our children have a program also they're going to share with us. So don't leave when we're done here. And also they prepared a egg hunt for them out there. Hallelujah. I mean, Isaiah 53 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. All we like sheep have gone astray. But I'm thankful for the power of God in my life. I'm thankful for resurrection life. I'm thankful for his Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for his presence in this house this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." How many know even at your weakest point, the strength of God is in you? The scripture says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Hallelujah. That we have a strength, an inward strength, an inward power, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. That we do not have to allow ourselves to be labeled by our failures, by our mistakes, by our doubts, by our fears. Hallelujah. But we serve a Savior who is able to restore us, to heal us, to minister to us in whatever level. I love, the story goes on that Jesus sits on the seashore with the disciples. In the next chapter of John, they go back fishing. Hallelujah. But how many know when they go back to fishing this time, it's not working for them? Jesus stands on the shore and says, "Well, did you catch anything? Do you have any meat?" They said, "No." He said, "Then cast your net on the right side of the ship." And I'm sure they're thinking, "We tried that. Okay. We fished all night and we caught no fishes." But at the sound of his voice, they cast the net on the right side of the ship. How many know when Jesus speaks into the situation, everything changes? Your works and your labors may not have caused it to happen, but when Jesus speaks into the situation. And the scripture says, "And they bring in the net, it's so full that they can't hardly hold all the fish, and the fish is about to break." And all of a sudden, Peter gets a revelation and says, "That's my Lord. That's the sound of my Savior on the beach." And he gets to the shore and Jesus sits down with him. Three times Peter denies him. Three times Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" For every time that Peter ever failed, Jesus gives him opportunity to say, "Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep." Hallelujah. The power of the gospel to change lives. I mean, we serve a faithful God. We serve a risen Savior. That even in our darkest hours, even in our hours where we feel like we've failed him, that the cross is more powerful than anything I have ever done in my own failures, in my own sins. The cross is enough. Do you believe that this morning? That the cross is enough. Do you have family that you're wanting to see come to know Jesus today? The cross is enough. Hallelujah. If there are those who are doubting, if there are those who are fearful, if those who seem like they have separated themselves, how many know the cross is enough? The nail prints in his hand, this piercing of his side, it is enough today. And Jesus promised that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Stand to your feet this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So we sing a song, get ready for the children to come in. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've not encountered that, if you'd like to accept him into your heart, our altar is open. All you need to come to the front. You can do it in your seat. You can do it wherever you are. Say, "My dad simply said, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll serve you." It doesn't have to be eloquent. Doesn't have to be formulated. Doesn't have to be practiced. "Lord, forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Savior." Hallelujah. The altar is open. If you want to come and pray, we'd be glad to pray with you. Hallelujah. And receive the greatest gift of all, his life. Hallelujah. His resurrection life.